Today on Real Radio.
Somebody says, I wrote a book on my near-death experience. You don't have to worry about anything. There's no judgment. All those Christians are wrong. I felt very warm, very peaceful. I was heading down this tunnel. I could see light at the end. And then I woke up and I felt very, very fine. How do you know that light at the end of the tunnel wasn't a train coming in the opposite direction? How do you know it wasn't the flames of hell about ready to lick you up? Well, I'm going to trust in my experience over the very words of He who came back from the dead.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give You my praise. My heart is in Your hands, let me feel Your touch. Lord, I live for Your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. We're in a presentation taken from Luke 7 and verses 11 through 17. It's the account of Jesus having compassion for a woman who was a widow and whose son had just died. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in an impassioned presentation called What Faith Has to Do.
Death is brutal. It's an animal. It doesn't care. It can't care. But isn't it an overwhelmingly strange sense that something's very wrong? The Bible makes it very clear that death stings us. Hear me out. Death stings us to the heart. There's no doubt about it. And let's be honest. If you remove Jesus from the factor, it stings us to the heart, to the core, just like the crocodile hunter got stung straight to the heart, to the core, and died. Death stings us in the heart, and it will kill us. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how cute you are. It's after you. It's after me. Another thing is this. If you leave Jesus out of the factor, let's be honest, the grave wins every time. We joke around a little nervously about it. There's two things certain in all of life, taxes and death. One we complain about and one we try to uncomfortably laugh away. My mother grew up in Hawaii. And my mom didn't have shoes until she moved to San Diego. She grew up running around Hawaii. But with all that Polynesian stuff and all of the foreign, strange, thousand weird Polynesian gods, my mom knew that stuff. And my mom would drive around town to avoid a graveyard because she thought that the Menahunes were going to get her. All this stuff that death haunts people about. And you say, well, that's ridiculous. That's paganism. You're exactly correct. It is. But I got to tell you right now, without Jesus Christ, the corporate executive wheeling and dealing the world is haunted by death. Because if Jesus is not in the factor, death is a sting and it's fatal. And the grave has jaws and it will never open its mouth. The Bible says the grave is forever. Until you introduce Jesus into the factor, Jesus destroys it. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, "Sting, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." What does that mean? Let's read it backwards. Jesus Christ took care of the law. He fulfilled it. By doing that, He took away the law's ability to condemn you because He satisfied it. By doing that, He imparted to us His righteousness, taking away our sins. By doing that, He freed from you and I the terror of death. Oh, I may die today. You could die today. But Christian, that's not the end of the story. In fact, for us who are Christians, it's the beginning of the story. Can you imagine a little baby inside the womb and it's dark in there and it's time for, you know, there's contractions. And it's 98.6 in there in fluid. That's like going to the Bahamas, man. That little baby's in there. Oh, this is so nice. And then, what was that? Jeez, it's getting smaller in here. More of a push. I think I better turn around and get my head first and see where we're going on this thing here. And more pressure, things from behind. The room's getting tighter and tighter. You start to hear interesting sounds. And very, very slowly, a little door begins to open up. What in the world is going on? I wonder what that baby thinks at that moment. Can you imagine? I am not. It's the room is white. There's people with masks on. The lights are bright. I see a tunnel. I'm not going to do this. The Christian, death for us is just a door that swings wide open into the glory of God. And we better wake up to the reality and understand that if you don't have that hope, you are hopeless, man. You ain't got nothing. I got $1 million. You have nothing. You have zip. Well, the Bible teaches us in John 11:32 that when Jesus had compassion, it was manifested in a different way. In John 11:32, it says, then when Mary came, this is the death of Lazarus, Jesus' friend, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. The meaning is that Jesus was grieved over the power of what death has done to man. Verse 13 tells us in this chapter of Luke 7 that he had compassion. Powerful. Secondly, verse 14, believing in what the Lord is saying. Now, he says, church, grab this. If we don't make it any further than this today, grab this. What is he saying? And listen, I want to be honest with you. Don't tell me later, Jesus is saying to me, and whatever you say is totally not biblical. Jesus is not saying that to you. Whatever Jesus says, it's biblical. Whatever Jesus says, you can find in the Bible. When Jesus speaks to you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, when God the Father speaks to you, it's found in the Bible. Are you with me, everyone? Make no mistake about it. There's a lot of people running around, and I met some this week, that God tells them, listen, God tells them this on Monday, and then it doesn't happen. Oh, God told me about this, and I'm to marry this person, and God told me that. And then you know what? That didn't happen. I wonder why God did that. God gets all the blame for what someone made up in their head, for what their emotions wanted to tell them. Whenever God speaks, it will be in pure alignment with the Word of God. Every time. He cannot contradict himself. He's not a liar. His Word is true, and what he says is the Word. Simple. So if you've heard a word from the Lord, you better judge it according to your Bible. The Bible is the plumb line. What has God said? What is God saying? If it's in the word, believe it. Listen to what he says. Jesus says to the woman, in her hearing, I should say, don't weep. Okay, she hears that. Then he turns, and I want to see this. Jesus touches the coffin. You guys, does any of you have any Jewish background about touching coffins? You don't touch coffins. It's forbidden in the book of Leviticus. You don't touch coffins. It's forbidden. If you touch a coffin, you're defiled. It's God sending the message to the Jewish people. Death is hideous. It's horrible. Stay away from it. Run from it. Get away. Go. Get as far away from it as you can. Meaning, run to me. I am your life. Don't get close to it. Jesus walks up or stands still. I don't know what's going on because, remember, they're coming into town and the procession's going out of town. He says to her, don't weep. And then he touches the coffin. Oh, he doesn't just touch the coffin. Jesus touches the dead man. It says here, touch the open coffin. The word means he touched the dead guy. Now, right about now, if you're a rabbi, I mean, your beanie is like about 3 feet off your head. We don't do that stuff. There's no way. You see, Jesus doesn't care about that because love triumphs over the law and mercy over judgment. he already knows what he's going to do. Just when someone can accuse him of touching a dead guy, the guy's alive. What are you going to do with that? Jesus, you touched the guy that was dead. I love this. Then he came and he touched the open coffin. And those, and justifiably, who were carrying him stood still. You could hear the brakes squeal. As they stopped there, all the eyes are upon Jesus. All the ears are in tune to what he's about to see or do. Something is about to happen. Death was about to meet its match. Death is going to get whipped in a minute. By the way, whenever Jesus walks into a room, sin meets its match. I love that. Whenever Jesus begins to enter into an area, death begins to tremble. Listen, some of you need to hear this. Whenever Jesus walks into a room and the grace of God comes into a room, condemnation and the law has got to tip its hat and let grace and Christ go by. Legalism, the law, has got to tip its hat when Christ enters in with his grace and his mercy. What a wonderful thing that is about to happen. And he says to the man, notice this, look at it in your Bible. This is wild. Jesus is about to deliver the one and only remedy for death and decay, and it's absolutely wild to me. Jesus says to the dead guy, young man, I say to you, arise. Do you have a problem with that? I mean, not a problem. I want to know how this works. The guy's dead. Young man, arise. I mean, how did he, what? Those ears couldn't hear anymore. Oh, church, grab this. The fingers, are, the tips were cold, if not blue by now. This guy was going nowhere. And Jesus says, young man, arise. Get up. Is that not wonderful? Get up. And my mind went off as it usually goes off somewhere. How did the guy hear? Where was he? What was going on? This transcends immediately, number one, the dead body. Jesus speaks beyond the dead. You guys, Jesus speaks beyond the grave. It's only Jesus can do that. Jesus speaks beyond the netherworld, the spiritual realm. Jesus goes in there with a word. Young man, arise. He could hear Jesus' words from wherever he was. May you rejoice this morning in joy and glory unspeakable, or may you be brought to your knees in sheer terror. The truth is, living in this world, the way that you hear and what you do, memory and death, it appears that it happens to the physical body. That when Jesus speaks, there's something of a great connection beyond the realm that you and I know nothing about, and we're fools to say that we do. Oh, I had a near-death experience. Let me tell you something. If you had a near-death experience and it was real, not drug-induced or satanically empowered, then you've come back and you are preaching the gospel to every creature that is alive, because if it was of God, like Paul the Apostle or what this young man's going to teach us, you will give glory to God because it's his voice you heard. When somebody says, oh, I wrote a book on my near-death experience, you don't have to worry about anything. There's no judgment. Oh, those Christians are wrong. I felt very warm, very peaceful. I was heading down this tunnel. I could see light at the end. And then I woke up and it was very, I felt very, very fine. How do you know that light at the end of the tunnel wasn't a train coming in the opposite direction? How do you know it wasn't the flames of hell about ready to lick you up? Well, I'm going to trust in my experience over the very words of he who came back from the dead. I know, don't write me. You're going to write me and say, but I had an experience. I don't want to know about your experience. I love you, but I don't want to know about your experience. I don't need to know. We're out of time. We'll end with this. When I do a funeral and the deceased is there, I always tell the family, those in attendance, that he's not here, you know. And I go into all that. I use all the analogies. I use the scriptures. No problem. Do you know what's weird? It's when you're doing a funeral and the guy's 16 years old and he OD'd. And it's hard for me because I'm like looking. It's like, man, why is that guy not getting up and walking out of here? I mean, he looks like he'd get out of here. He looks like he could just run. It's so strange. And if you look too long at that, you can lose hope, you know? It seems like every time I do a funeral at Rose Hills or Forest Lawn, inevitably there is someone there with a lawn chair, an umbrella, a little ice chest, sitting next to a tombstone, crocheting or reading a magazine or a book. And that's exactly where this woman is heading. Unless Jesus steps into her life. And when I see that woman or that man sitting there at Forest Lawn, and there's nobody around but that tombstone, do you understand what's being communicated there? The day that person died, that person died. Jesus is going to touch this guy, and he's going to say something. And I love what he has to say. We have a few moments. Let's look at it. Third and final point is this. What faith has to do, verses 15 to 17. So he, who was dead, sat up. Jesus said to him, young man, arise. Isn't that wild? Young man, get up. I wonder who he did this for anyway. Did he do it for the young man or did he do it for the mom? And you know, you could sit here, you could build a seminary on that question. Now, why did Jesus do that? How about Jesus did it for you and I to be talking about it today too? How about Jesus did it because some of you have lost some loved ones, I would say, in a crowd this big? You lost someone? What faith has to do is to honor God with our life. The Bible says this guy sat up and began to speak. First thing we realize is that what we are doing, what are we doing with Jesus? With what God has done in our lives, what are we doing for Jesus? Look what it says. And so verse 15, he who was dead. Man, that's weird to read, isn't it? Hey, aren't you the guy that was dead? Can you imagine, Teddy, you go to lunch. Hey, you're the waiter here, right? Yeah. Weren't you dead before? Could you imagine this guy after this was all over? Hey, Mike! Hey, that's Mike. He was the dead guy last week. Isn't that wild? He sat up and began to speak. And this is really fun, what I'm about to show you here, is that the words here, began to speak, the word means to commence in order of time or chronology. The word means to rehearse from the beginning. But nobody knows what. Scholars have written articles. We don't know what the guy's talking about. It just says that he came up out of the box talking. So some scholars say when he died, it was sudden. And when he was brought back to life, he picked up where he was, you know, he was talking about how the, you know, the Galilean, you know, Nets beat the Jerusalem Jaguars and the, and then he pops back up and he says, oh yeah, the score was 5-0. Some say that's what it means. Some say, no. It means that he began to recount from the beginning the very arrival of Jesus that he began to speak about. Now, even though the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord, this is very interesting. I have this question. Apparently, this young man heard Jesus speak in the spirit realm, even though his ears were dead, even though his face was gray. When Jesus said, young man, arise, where was he? Isn't that wild? It's your Jesus. Aren't you? Can I say this in the right way? I'm so proud of my Jesus. I'm so happy about my Jesus. You know what? When he speaks, you think death, oh, I'm sorry, Jack. I dropped call. Can you hear me now? When he speaks, it pierces right through this physical realm, goes into the spirit realm, and whatever, however, he said it, that guy could hear. That guy could hear. He heard him. Young man, arise. And there was none of this, which one? There's a lot of young men. He knew. Young man, arise. And the guy sits up. Man. Wouldn't it have been amazing carrying that casket? And your friend pops up. Jesus, I heard his voice from beyond the grave. Don't you think you'd become a believer at that second? Can you imagine some guy just goes, oh, are you sure? Are you stupid? I'm talking to you right now. I'm alive. It's me. How's he doing that? What a trick. And it says that Jesus presented him to his mother.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in an impassioned presentation called What Faith Has to Do, taken from Luke 7 and verses 11 through 17. It's part of our journey through this New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, if you were able to listen to Real Radio during Passion Week, you were able to hear Pastor Jack's series, When Hope Arrives, talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus, the divine Messiah. Well, we're still making that available for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. It's available on DVD. Just ask for When Hope Arrives. When Hope Arrives. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. It's a toll-free number. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or you can send in your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.